Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. And if you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing director of the highly publicized Caught in the Middle, Talina Adamo. And I think I have Talina on the line. Let me see here. Okay. Talina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Hi.
Hey. Let's just dive right in. For those that don't know the movie, let's talk about Caught in the Middle. Tell me a little bit about the synopsis so people can understand what it's about.
Well, Caught in the Middle is pretty much a story written by two 12-year-old boys who wanted to write about something that they know. And most of it is pretty much based on popular kids who are somewhat bullying. In the short film, it's not so much focused on bullying, but there is a lot that we touch on bullying. And you have this nerdy group of kids who are great kids, and one of them is in love with one of the popular girls. And he basically struggles with the fact that he's in love with this girl and his friends don't like them because they're the popular kids who are mean. And then you've got the popular kids who feel the same way about them. So it's kind of the struggle about, you know, who's cool to hang out with, who's not cool to hang out with. And, you know, these two kids ending up liking each other and following their hearts in the end and end up happy in the end versus the bullies who don't end up so happy in the end. So it's a great comedy as well. There's some funny stuff in there that we touch on to kind of make fun of some of the things that happen to the nerdy kids, but it's all in good humor.
And how did you get involved in the project?
Well, I have a group called the Palm Beach County Filmmakers, and I had a writer's workshop one day, and Jordan, who was 12 at the time, came into the workshop, and he became a member. And within like a week or two, he had asked if he could submit a script to me to read for a short film. And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead and send it to me. And I took a look at it. It was like 10 pages at the time when he had first written it, him and his friend Shane. And I just fell in love with it right away, not only because I wanted to have an opportunity to possibly make a film with kids because I've never done that before, but also because it was a really heart-touching story. It dealt with the things that most of us, I know especially for me, I related to it a lot because I remember things that happened in elementary and junior high and, you know, feeling those moments of bullying at times in our lives that really touched home for me, and it just really made me want to be a part of the film. And as Black Onyx Productions, as a film company, I decided to go ahead and produce it and make it into a short film for him.
And how did you work with him on the script? Did you make a lot of revisions of it?
No, I actually purposely avoided making any revisions, but when I step in as a director, of course, most of us know our visual suggestions come in, and there may be some improv. Like, I love working with improv, so there's a lot of opportunities that I gave the actors to add their own input and, you know, not necessarily stick to script, but most of it was stuck with what Jordan and Shane had written, and I thought it was very well written for someone who had done it for their first time. It was their first script ever, so.
What was it like working on the set with the kids, too?
Oh, my goodness. The first I was so worried because, you know, the one thing everyone tells you in filmmaking is you never work with kids and you never work with animals. I'd already had my fair share with animals and had, you know, no problems like they had mentioned, but when it came to the kids, there were like 75 actors total, and the majority were children in their preteens.
Wow.
And I had never had so much fun working on a short film before ever. It was just so much fun. The kids actually were easier to work with than most of the adults I worked with in my whole career. Not that, you know, I had some horrible adults that I worked with, because I had some great adults too, but I just felt like the kids were so, like, easy to mold, and they just listened to direction very, like, if I said something, they delivered it, and it was really great working with them.
How did you find your cast? Because I didn't realize there were 75 people. I knew it was a large cast, but that's huge. How did you find your cast,
well,
all those kids?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't consider extras cast, so, you know, I'm including extras as well. But
right.
It was still a pretty large cast. What I did is I did your typical casting call, open call. I submitted through agents. I submitted through online places like Facebook and even Craigslist. If some people, you know, don't always promote Craigslist very good, but it tends to work a little bit for me with casting calls. And, you know, when I did that, I kind of built up a connection with different agencies, and that also legitimized some of the cast that did come through. There was a lot of really good actors, including SAG actors, that came out. So it was a good casting.
Mm-hmm. And you had a casting, didn't you have it? I forgot where you had the casting, actually. You had a casting call.
Well, I had a casting call at my office. I'm no longer there at the office.
That's
it was
right.
In Boca Raton.
Yeah.
And just a little, you know, I had it in a conference room, professional environment. It was really, really convenient doing it that way. And had one person at a time coming in and had the kids coming in. That was fun because we had the scene where, you know, they had to pretend they were riding a bicycle. The cool boys were the mean boys. And they had this scene where we just pushed them on chairs in the office and pretended they were on bikes. It was really funny. They had a good time auditioning, so.
And Jordan also got involved in the behind-the-scenes production of it, too. What was it like working with him as a producer?
Well, Jordan had never done anything like this before, so I just
mm-hmm.
kind of felt like he was so interested in learning that I wanted to kind of take him under the wing and just show him how things were done. So
mm-hmm.
although he played producer and he came in as a writer, producer, and also played a lead role as Milt, as the
mm-hmm.
actor,
yep.
It wasn't like he came in and he knew everything that was going on in filmmaking. He learned a lot, really. It was a learning experience for him. And he did a lot of hard work between him and his mother, Mara, who, you know, was also a producer. They did a lot of the groundwork on finding sponsors, like getting all of our food. They would call up different places, help us find locations to shoot. So he did a lot of hard work, had very little sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I give him a lot of credit, especially for his first time.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about locations. I know you had a lot of difficulties with some of the locations, and we don't have to necessarily mention names, but tell us about some of the places that you were able to shoot and a little bit about how you coordinated that.
Well, the first thing that we had organized was Rinaldi's in Tequesta, which...
And they were great.
Jordan,
really
yeah,
great.
Mara and Jordan, I guess, had known them. They probably have gone there several times because their food was pretty good. It's like an Italian pizzeria type of place.
And Tequesta.
Yes.
It was Tequesta, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were just so on board from not only being a sponsor to give us food for the day when we shot, but also to let us use their restaurant for our Rinaldi's waitress scene, which you were in, our southern waitress. So it was one of our biggest scenes. We nailed that location from the top because they were totally on board with Jordan. They were a fan of supporting the kids, and of course bullying really helps people to say yes a lot easier. Everyone's fighting against bullying lately. It's been a lot bigger than I had noticed over the past few years. A lot of things
mm-hmm.
are happening with that, so it's getting a lot of
support.
Yeah,
that's why it's such an important issue, and that's why I think this movie's going to get a lot of promotion. In fact, it was already on CNN. Tell us about that. How did that work out? Did Diana Laura take that project there?
Yeah, well, Diana Laura, she's a great actress. She's got a lot to do with the Spanish market of acting. So the CNN that she was actually invited to be on for promoting herself, she kind of just decided to really push Caught in the Middle for us, which was really great. So she had talked to them about Caught in the Middle and what Jordan had done. And I guess they just wanted to be... on board for promoting Caught in the Middle on that show completely. So they brought her and Jordan, who
mm-hmm.
Jordan didn't really speak any Spanish as far as I know. He spoke in English, and then they translated for him.
Uh-huh.
But it was really great opportunity because there's so many Spanish people in Florida especially. So we kind of reach out to that market, and it totally promoted, you know, not only the fact that Jordan had written the film, but that it really touched home for him because he had gone through some bullying as well. So the focus on that show was about bullying and, you know, and then, of course, plugging the show and getting people to keep an eye out for the movie when it comes out.
Yeah. And you have a party coming up, a kind of a premiere of sorts. Is that just for the cast or is that for anyone?
Well, it's a private screening premiere for the cast and crew. We're inviting press and media, of course, because we need that for our red carpet and help promote the film. But then we're also inviting select Palm Beach County Filmmakers members. So if anyone's on meetup.com as a Palm Beach County Filmmakers member on there, there's an invitation for them to come, but we have limited seating. So it's sort of like you have to get there early and get your tickets so that in case the seats sell out, you'll have your seat.
What do you think was the biggest challenge in making this movie?
The biggest challenge would be how many people were involved. It was the biggest short film I've ever done. It's called The Big Short because it was just so much more work than I had ever done on any short between the permitting and, you know, how many cast involved. And then also having so many crew. I mean, we had, like, pretty much, I don't want to say no budget because we did have money we raised. We raised over $3,000. And primarily most of that went to food and things for permitting and locations. So a lot of our crew came in with no expectations of getting paid. They worked on a deferred payment. And, you know, our SAG actors also came in with that same mentality, although they were SAG because we did a new media project, which allows, you know, when you do SAG films, you usually have to have a certain budget that you're working with and actually pay all your actors. But with this new media option, it really opened the doors for us to not have to stress about, oh my goodness, we don't have enough money to pay all these actors, because then we would have had to revise the whole script and, you know, made it like 3 to 5 actors instead of 75.
Tell me, do you want to talk a little bit about the new media? Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, real short, brief description from what I've learned is new media is the new media option of creating films just for the web. And when you do that, it basically allows, you know, for you to put your films on an internet channel, whether it's your own website or whether it's YouTube or any kind of online format that you want to use to promote your films. You can do short films, you can do like TV series, web series, I should say. And in that case, you can work on a pretty much zero to low budget deferred pay if you want with your actors. As long as you work within the SAG rules, you know, you stick to the certain hours that you have to work and everyone's treated fairly with food and things like that. So it's a great opportunity because not only does it allow you to get more prestige in your film because now you're working as a SAG film rather than just an independent, which kind of gets people's attention a little bit more, especially the actors, because a lot of people want to be SAG or, you know, it's their desire to get their SAG eligibility, and the new media opens the doors and allows that to happen for them. So there were a lot of actors on the set that had dreams about getting their SAG cards, and now they finally have their SAG eligibility due to that.
Yeah, like me.
Definitely a recommendation if you're going to try to enter SAG to get your own SAG film going through SAG New Media.
Okay, and it looks like we have a caller. Let me see who's on the line that's been holding patiently for us. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, you are on live. Welcome.
Hello, how are you? My name's Deborah Cutler. And
hey, Deborah. Do you have
Deborah
a question
Cutler.
For Talena?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Talena, this is your Aunt Deborah.
Hi, Aunt Deborah.
I just want to tell you I'm so proud of you and that And making this film is wonderful. You have a big heart, and why didn't you tell me?
My Aunt Debbie's from New York, so we don't see each other hardly ever, except for like maybe once a year.
I used to babysit her.
Family reunion.
I used to babysit her when she was a child. What a beautiful child. I love her so much. With all my heart, and I'm proud. And she's having a little baby. And I was listening to you, and I put on my timeline. And I love you so much. And it's a good thing writing about bullying because it really is an important issue, and I'm just so proud of you. Okay, darling?
Okay.
thanks for calling in. I'm sure you'll talk with Talina after the show. Thanks a lot, and listen to the rest of the show.
I am. I hope I got a new computer that I hope that I could get it back on.
Okay.
Well, okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Don't get Windows 8. Bye. Bye.
Okay, well, that was a surprise.
That was a surprise, yeah.
Well, let's see. Where were we? Okay, I wanted to make sure that we give a website or something for the movie that we want to give out so people can find out more about the movie.
Yes. The movie's website is caughtinthemiddlefilm.com.
Caughtinthemiddlefilm, F-I-L-M, .com. Okay. And this is not your first project. You've done a lot of projects locally, shorts and commercials that you've worked on and documentaries. And you're also a singer. And you did a documentary, which a lot of people may not know about, that you did a while ago called Love of Music. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit and some of the people that are in that project that now have done very well for themselves. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Well, The Love of Music was my first feature documentary ever, straight out of, I just graduated from film school and I dove into making a film. So it was, one, a very big learning experience of what not to do and make sure you back up your hard drive, because a one-year project ended up taking 2 years because I finished editing and then my hard drive crashed and I lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an experience. But the focus on the film was basically to inspire myself, because I was in the process of writing an album at the time, a little EP, 4-song album, and I had gone through a lot of things where I really almost just gave up on music. Sometimes I still feel like I still struggle with that, even though I've done the film and I've been re-inspired. But the goal was to inspire others who had the same dreams of being, you know, whether it was just someone who sang their heart out or someone who was like Britney Spears' pop idol, to never give up on their dreams. And I went ahead and interviewed all the local excellent artists that I could find, from solo individuals to bands. And I think I interviewed like 11 or 12 bands total.
Yeah.
There was so much footage. I had to like cut people out because there was just so many people. But it ended up being film that I couldn't get into film festivals, because for my first experience, it was more of a, I asked them questions, I interviewed them, and they gave me answers. And then I had a whole bunch of B-roll footage of like their performances and things of that nature. But I didn't have what they call the three-act structure when I wrote the script. It was kind of like I just winged it. There was no script, really. I just kind of threw it together. And with that, because that structure wasn't there, I couldn't get into film festivals, but the content is really good. It's really inspirational, and it was really educational as well. So I started like doing this alternative method of trying to get it out to people, and I actually went to junior high. I went to a middle school, and one of the artists, Mark Solomon, came with me, and we kind of did like a two-hour class with the students promoting the film and what it was all about. And did like a hands-on, like we showed the kids how to produce a song with a laptop and a microphone and a few instruments, and we had the whole class making music. It was really great. And haven't really done too much with it since, but one of our actors, I shouldn't say actor, one of our singers, Michaela Page, was about 11 years old when she was on the movie, and she sang like an adult woman. It was kind of like you look at her and be like, she's just this little girl, and when she sang, it was like, wow, that did not just come out of her. So it was really great interviewing her, and her parents were very supportive of her, which was another great thing that a lot of kids don't always have when it comes to those types of career choices.
Yeah.
So I knew she'd probably have a lot of good luck because of her parents being so supportive of her. And, I mean, she's 16 now, and she got onto The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And actually made it to the top 12.
Yeah, yeah.
So
she's the girl with the mohawk.
Yes.
She's known now as the girl with the mohawk from The Voice. Unfortunately, she's not on the show anymore, but she really did great on that show.
Yeah, and it was really great seeing her progress from such a little person to
mm-hmm.
almost, she's pretty much like a full-grown woman now, even though she's still 16. But, you know, and then
yeah.
seeing her work the stage and perform, she's really come a long way. She knows how to work the stage. She's very confident, and, you know, I think she's going to go really far.
And you've kind of always sort of brought people together, and you talk about your Palm Beach filmmakers group. Tell me a little bit about how that got started and all the different projects that you've done within it, like the seminars and the classes and the movie nights. Tell us a few of the things that you've done so that people get a sense of what it is.
Well, the Palm Beach County Filmmakers was started back in March of 2010 when I kind of came to this end of the road because as a filmmaker, I live in Palm Beach County. And as most of us know in the film industry, a lot of the work isn't here in Palm Beach. It's predominantly in Miami or in other
mm-hmm.
states. So even still, knowing it's in Miami, it's still quite a drive for us. And
yeah,
especially when you're independent and you're working on a lot of non-budgeted films to get started and build your reel, it's really challenging to drive 1 to 2 hours a day. And, you know, having the funding just to get your gas to do that is really something that we struggle with. So aside from that, even the paying jobs, most of them come from Miami. You know, I've done some acting and I've done the extra work and I've done all that stuff that we go through to get into the business. And I just got really frustrated with the whole having to go down south when we live in such a beautiful area in Palm Beach County and there's so many of us, there's a handful of us that live here. And I just
mm-hmm.
wanted to be like, let's do something. Why do we have to drive all the way to Miami? Let's do it here in Palm Beach and let's not only get more active, but let's meet each other. Who are you? Where are you at?
mm-hmm.
So the goal was to bring everyone together. And then, you know, with the group, my first intention was to get together and make films. And we kind of, as a group, came up with film ideas. We entered film festival contests and we wrote the scripts together and we just did everything as like a team. And we had two films that we'd actually made. One was called An Adventure with Hot Coffee, and then we
mm-hmm.
did another film later on down the road called The Magic Ticket. And I think
mm-hmm.
quality-wise, the movies were really, really one of the better qualities I'd ever worked on since graduating from school. We had some great cameras, like the DSLRs that came out just made the quality so much better.
Uh-huh.
And then also, of course, you're writing in Prus because you're not, like, writing your first script anymore. So
right.
I was really proud of the films that had come out of our group that we had done together. But I also realized that it was a lot stressful on some of the group members because there was only a small handful, maybe 3 to 5 people on each project that actually went to school for filmmaking or knew how to do filmmaking. Everyone else just wanted to learn. And then
mm-hmm.
I realized, okay, this was too stressful on us because we were pretty much doing all the work and everyone else was just kind of wanting to help but didn't know what to do.
Right.
So then I decided, you know what, maybe the group really needs more education.
Mm-hmm.
So I started focusing in on how can I educate people, and I figured let's just start doing workshops, let's do hands-on, let's get people out who want to learn, who can come out and learn different cameras, they can come out and learn about lighting, they can learn how to do screenwriting and, you know, I'm not an expert or a scholar, but, you know, with what I have learned from school and from experience, I just teach everyone what I know. And then I also get other teachers involved to help us through workshops. And that's anything from the filmmaking basics to the advanced to also acting. So we do just about everything now.
And you've done some acting, too. You were in the Caught in the Middle. And do you like acting or directing better, or what do you like best?
that's a tough question because I've always had the shotgun approach with life. you know, because I started out as a singer-songwriter who likes to perform, I obviously love acting. Because it's not that I love the spotlight, because I get nervous most of the time, like most people do. But I do like performing for people and entertaining people. I always just say I'm an entertainer sometimes because I have too many titles. But it's really two different worlds. When you're acting and you're in front of the camera, you get to kind of play dress up and be someone you're not usually, and it's fun. Where directing is completely different. You're just bringing something to life, you know, something from your mind or your imagination that was turned into a script that you're now bringing to life, and you're visually telling it, sharing it the way you want people to see your vision. So I love both. They're just equally loved. I can't pick one over the other. It's a tough decision.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different worlds.
How do people find out more about Palm Beach Filmmakers if they want to get involved? Is there a website for that?
We have a website. Now, the Palm Beach County Filmmakers website is www.pbcfilmmakers.com, and that's two M's and the S at the end for filmmakers.
Okay.
And on there, I pretty much summarized everything about the group so they can download the membership application if they want to join. And there's a calendar on there with events. And then also we're on meetup.com, which is the best way to find out, like, what our meetups are.
Okay. Just go to meetup.com and type in Palm Beach County Filmmakers?
PBC Filmmakers, actually.
Okay. Okay, PBC Filmmakers. Okay, we have another caller. I don't know if this is another long-lost family member. We'll see who this is.
Hi,
you're on live. Hey, who's this?
It's Ann Sandy.
Oh,
it's Ann Sandy.
The whole family's calling.
Me
too.
I love you. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Call me later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, lots of love.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
I have a big family, so.
Well, you're getting lots of love today. That's great. from all over the country. Okay. Well, what's next for you besides kind of promoting Caught in the Middle? Talk a little bit about the promotion process and where it's going next. First of all, I guess, let's talk about that.
Well, one of my actors introduced me to somebody who was an executive producer. Because nothing's been solidified, I don't want to drop names or give any 100% confirmations. But we have been going back and forth with the investor and pretty much pitching, which is a step in my career that I've not really had much of an opportunity to do because I just never found the right connection.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, they were always phonies, and I learned the hard way. They were not legitimate people. So I think for once, especially with this particular film, we found something really legitimate in the executive producer that we were connected with. And they've been totally on board from just me telling them before we even shot the film what was going on and what it was about, and they were totally on board just because of the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been following us each step of the way, so every time something happens and progresses, I'm always calling them and you know, giving them the updates. And I pitched a business plan, and, of course, the business plan is to make this into a feature film. And
mm-hmm.
with the feature film, my goal is to still include Jordan. He's one of our, you know, main writers. Shane, who wrote the film with him, really isn't in the business. It was kind of just something he did for fun with Jordan. And with Jordan, he wants to take this as a professional career and go the next level with it. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to keep Jordan involved in the writing, and I'm going to mm-hmm. step in and help him write it. And I also invited my first AD, John Hamblin, to come in and kind of give me that adult male's point of view for the script, because he also writes. So the three
mm-hmm.
of us together are writing the feature.
Right.
And really kind of developing it to have a lot more character development, because with a short, it's kind of hard to do that when you have so many actors in the scenes.
Uh-huh.
You know, now we have a feature, and we're connecting the audience to the characters more, and we're actually going to touch more on bullying. So we can really,
mm-hmm.
really show more aspects of what happens to these kids in school and how they deal with it. And a lot of high hopes for it, for the feature. So looking forward to that. We sent the short film, just recently got finished. We're keeping it private until the premiere. But we did send it to the investors, and they loved it so far, and they're excited. So
great.
Keeping
great.
Our fingers crossed, and we're going to show them our rough draft once we're done with the first draft of the feature script. And hopefully when we get that, yes, the budget is here, then we'll let everyone know. That's our goal.
Great. So that's pretty much what you've been working on. You're not working on any additional projects. You're just sticking with Caught in the Middle right now.
Well, because I am pregnant and I'm going to have a baby in February, it's kind of been like a time to slow down kind of pacing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been just focusing on Caught in the Middle. I also have another TV series that I've been writing, which is called From Apples to Oranges. And that's something I've been working on for a long time, but I've always put it aside because I take on Caught in the Middle or I take on this project, and I always put my stuff to the side, playing the director role. So my goal is that, aside from focusing on Caught in the Middle and getting that into a feature budgeted film, to at least get the writing done for the TV series that I'm writing. Because it's really challenging to, like, just buckle down and get something done. It takes a lot of dedication to write something. Caught in the Middle is our priority. That's our priority. But being that I have Jordan, myself, and John, we're kind of rotating time. We're like, okay, I'm going to write 10 pages, you write 10 pages. And then we just rotate around and come back to it. And we're probably going to revise it a million times.
Great.
Those are the main projects.
Okay. Well, we're almost running out of time. Is there any other websites you want to give out about yourself so people can find out, kind of keep track of what you're up to?
I mean, as far as production, I have blackonyxproductions.com, which is BLACKONYX, and then productions with an S.com. And that is where I'm going to start doing more technical blogs, me and my husband, about, you know, film and in the industry in general, and then also keep you up to date on the projects we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a newsletter on there you can sign up for the newsletter.
And you also do demo reel workshops. I just want to throw that out there. If people are looking to do their demo reel, you also do that, where you work with them to create a demo reel and even have coaches. Like, I'm one of the coaches sometimes, however they choose. And you do photography, so you're also doing headshots. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
Yeah, thank you. I do a lot of things, so sometimes I forget to promote them all. It's a little overwhelming sometimes, but, you know, it's all related to the arts of filmmaking. It all comes from that, you know, from working with the cameras, and the photography just kind of fell into place. And the headshots are really great because then I can still stay connected to the actors. But at the same time, I kind of been expanding. I've been doing, you know, family portraits and things like that because now I'm going to be a mom. So now I'm like, oh, I want to take pictures of babies. So that's going to be a fun little hobby on the side. Aside from that, you know, once I'm done with this pregnancy, I'm hoping I can, get more acting back into my everyday life because I am a SAG-AFTRA actor now, and you can probably go to, if you want to stay up to date with that, when I am back into that, TalinaAdamo.com.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Talina. Thanks for being on the show, and I'm glad your family gave you some love today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And I will talk to you soon, and we're running out of time, but thanks for being on the show, and all your friends can go back and listen to this as many times as they want to because it will be archived. So thanks a lot.
Great.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Okay, well, that was Talina Adamo, and keep an eye out for Cod in the Middle because, like she said, she's working on the feature, and that's going to be something that's going to be more, I think, in the public eye, and you'll probably hear more about it. Probably from me also on the show. I did have a chance to be in Caught in the Middle, and it was a great experience. I've worked with Talina a couple times on a couple different projects, so she's always great to work with. And she also did my headshots for me, so I definitely recommend her as a headshot photographer. She did a good job. And I played a Southern waitress in Caught in the Middle, so I have a small part. It was a really fun little role to play, a character role. And I also got a chance to do some PA work on the set, too, which was great. But a great group of people involved in the project. So you can go back. If you missed any of those websites, you can go back and listen to that and find out more about the projects, okay, that she has going on. But thanks again for listening, everybody. And as always, please go to my Facebook page and go to Indie Streak, just like the show, and like it, like the page, because then you'll have access to everything I post there, which is information about events, castings, that kind of thing. I don't post a lot, but what I post there is usually stuff that I don't post anywhere else. I try to keep it fairly exclusive. I won't put it on my other Facebook page, my personal page, or anything else like that. I try to keep it just for the Indie Streak people. And also, I'm coming up on my anniversary of this show, and I haven't, my one-year anniversary, and I haven't decided yet, but I may have some special things coming up just kind of to honor the anniversary, so stay tuned. And also, next week, I will be back, of course, at 1 o'clock with someone new, so you want to tune in because I will be interviewing, I don't want to announce it yet, but I'm going to be interviewing someone that has a lot of experience in the biz and should have some really insightful stuff to talk about on the show. So stay tuned next Sunday at 1 o'clock. And happy Hanukkah to everyone. It's ending really today. The last candle lighting was last night. But Merry Christmas for those that are celebrating Christmas, and that's coming up soon. And I hope you get all your Christmas shopping done. Don't have much time left. But thanks, guys, again, and happy holidays to everybody, and I will talk to you guys soon. Okay, bye-bye.